This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Many of the nets seized during the Kuskokwim subsistence fishing openings have been returned to their owners. Alaska wildlife troopers seized 18 nets during the June 8th opening. Troopers confiscated fewer nets during the June 12th opening. Most of the nets were returned to owners before the opening this Saturday. Trooper Walter Blajewski reports that most of the seized nets measured two times or more the regulated length. The nets that remain in custody lack information identifying who owns them. Under regulation, gill nets must have an attached keg or buoy with the fisherman's first initial, last name, and address written on it. Phone numbers are helpful but not required. People wanting to pick up their nets can call the Trooper Bethel Post at 907-543-2294. Nets that were seized because of too large mesh are not available for pickup. Some nets were seized for drifting during a set net opening. All fishermen sighted during the openings have court dates scheduled for today and on June 24th. Fish confiscated with the nets are being donated to the Tundra Women's Coalition and to a summer youth camp that will then donate the fish to elders. Sometimes fish are given to people who cannot fish for themselves. Trooper Walter Blajewski says that he has also seen children as young as 4 years old not wearing life jackets in open boats. He reminds families that Alaska law requires children under age 13 to wear life jackets while in open boats or on deck of a ship. People over age 13 must have a life jacket on board. The King Salmon Run is growing in the Kuskokwim River as the season advances. From Tuntutuliak to Akiak along the Kuskokwim main stem, federal biologists estimate that about 8,600 salmon were harvested on the June 12th opening. Almost all the salmon were kings, about 8,000. The rest were a few hundred chum and a few hundred reds. Harvest estimates from Saturday's subsistence fishing opening will be released later this week. Moving to the coast, in western Alaska, accelerating erosion is forcing several villages to consider moving. In Quinnahock on the Bering Sea, erosion is threatening the sewage lagoon and the building that houses its washateria and health clinic. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Christy Schallenberger reports it's becoming a public health issue.
Jackie Cleveland is taking me on a boat ride.
Jackie, where are we going?
So we're going to go towards the mouth of this Kanichtuk River to see some climate change impact erosion where the old village once was.
Jackie grew up in Quinnahock and is the natural resource director for the tribe. She's held the position for almost a year. She's seen the changes from erosion her whole life. We stop at the site of the house where Jackie grew up. Some of it is underwater now.
So growing up, though, this land used to extend so far out here. And we had this beautiful bed of different flowers, wildflowers that grew everywhere. And I miss that little wild garden we used to have.
Quinnahock is especially vulnerable to erosion. It's surrounded by water with the Kuskokwim Bay in front and sandwiched by the Arolik and Kanuktuk Rivers. Quinnahock has moved parts of the village before, including fish camps and some houses. But the erosion is getting worse and happening faster now because of climate change. Quinnahock's sewer lagoon and the building that holds the washateria and health clinic are experiencing the worst impacts. And that makes it a public health problem, according to Ferdinand Cleveland, the tribal administrator for Quinnahock. He shows me the multi-purpose building where the washateria and health clinic are located.
This is supposed to be sitting on gravel. See the concrete? There's a gap underneath.
I can see it leaning, like bending in towards this way.
And you can tell right here where it's sinking.
A 2012 report from the state listed the lagoon and the multi-purpose building as top priorities for replacement or repair because of erosion and thawing permafrost. Nothing has changed 8 years later. Thermosiphons, designed to keep the ground from thawing, were installed below the concrete foundation. But Ferdinand says they aren't working because the ground is warming too fast. Ferdinand points out the cracks that lace the walls.
So the edges of the building are the worst that are sinking. You could see it evident with the cracks all over. See the outside part of the building, the concrete is sinking. And that drywall is cracking. It's affecting our phone lines. We've already had some phone lines disconnected.
Quinnahock has to construct a new building to hold the health clinic and move the washateria, according to Ferdinand. He takes me to the sewer lagoon. It's close to the ocean. We're standing at the edge of the beach.
So from where we're standing to the fence, how far is that?
It's about 200 feet, 150 feet.
And once it hits the fence?
Once it goes over this berm, that's when we'll have to close down the lagoon.
Ferdinand says he doesn't know how they would close the lagoon if the erosion causes the waste to leak into the ocean. The Kuskokwim Bay is an important food source. Erosion threatens other infrastructure, the airstrip, the water treatment plant, and the water and sewer system for the entire village. The village got running water roughly 8 years ago. Jackie and Ferdinand say it's clear Quinnahock has to move. Warren Jones agrees. He's president of the village corporation.
I think it's time to start preparing. It's coming. It's no way about it. We have to relocate to better ground, get these engineers out there with the certificate and say it's good land, even though our elders know already what land to pick.
But it's expensive to move an entire village. Newtok is another coastal community north of Quinnahock. It will cost them more than $100 million to move. Ferdinand has applied for a grant from the Bureau of Indian Affairs to plan how to move and rebuild the lagoon. He estimates that alone could cost $6 million. A new health clinic could cost about $2.5 million. I asked Jackie if they are planning to build the new health clinic and move the lagoon first, or wait until the entire town is ready to move.
That's a question for a lot of things here. Do we rebuild where we are, or are we going to have to be forced to think long term and build somewhere else? I don't know that yet.
Ferdinand says it's more likely they will rebuild the lagoon and build a new building to house the health clinic and then start to plan to relocate Quinnahock. The town is starting to plan its next steps. Jackie met with the tribal council and Quinnahock residents to get feedback earlier this month. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Christy Schallenberger in Quinnahock.
This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please send your news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for the news in Nuketown coming up.